This Easter, I want to look through the eyes of Mary. Mary was, by all understanding, way younger than the ladies today who have babies. She was in Nazareth, and an angel appeared to her with news that was going to change the rest of her life. And Luke says, and the angel Gabriel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And at these words, she was troubled because she felt like there was more and there was more. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David." And Mary thinks and says to the angel, "How can I conceive when I have known no man?" And so the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And then pretty soon the angel talked about Elizabeth, her relative, who in her old age was also pregnant, and that convinced her. And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And when he left, she thought, "The Son of God? Born to me?" So she goes on a journey to see Elizabeth. And when she sees Elizabeth, they both begin to rejoice and talk. And all of a sudden, when Mary comes near, John the Baptist jumps in Elizabeth because of the joy of being next to Jesus. And Mary recounts the visitation from the angel, and together they praise the Lord because she knows the coming baby in her is going to take the throne of David. Then the very next scene, we see Mary and Joseph headed to Bethlehem because of the census, and they get to Bethlehem, and immediately Mary has the baby predicted 600 or 700 years earlier. The baby is in a stable with the parents, and he's put into a feeding trough. Not so fitting for the Messiah, the King of Israel. Yet the angels declare his birth to the shepherds. And Luke says this, "And they," the shepherds, "came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." We watch as Mary watches, as Jesus grows older and older, wiser and wiser, more knowledge and wisdom. And we find when he turns to the age of 12 that he and his parents go with a caravan to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But when they're done with the Passover and the caravan goes home, they all go back to Nazareth together, but Jesus stays in Jerusalem. And pretty soon, Mary realizes, "My son, where is he?" She lost the Son of God. And so they go back to Jerusalem. For 3 days, they search for Jesus, and they can't find him. And finally, they go to the temple, the only haven they know in Jerusalem, and they see Jesus sitting amongst the teachers. And he's confounding them with their knowledge. His wisdom and knowledge, they can't believe that a 12-year-old boy knows the word of God like this. And it says, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they heard him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, Your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they didn't understand the statement which he had spoken to them. And so we see Mary pondering and wondering again. She doesn't understand because he isn't out like the other boys playing in the streets of Jerusalem. He's in church. It didn't occur to her that he would be in the temple. And then I can imagine all of a sudden it comes to Mary. Jesus is on loan. Joseph isn't really his father. I'm not really his mother, even though I carried him and birthed him. What about Joseph? What about me? The next scene, we see Jesus entering the ministry at 30. Mary sees him teaching and preaching, healing the sick, making the blind to see. And then we see the disappointment with Mary. Her son has no time for the family. He's about his heavenly father's business, his real father. And the scripture says, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and my brothers? And he stretched out his hand and he pointed towards his disciples. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father, these are my brothers and sisters and my mother. And she must have pondered again. Jesus was a man now. He didn't need her, and yet she loved him so. And then tragedy. Jesus is taken by soldiers from the Garden of Gethsemane. He's arrested, and he's beaten. And Mary and her friends watch with horror. How painful it must have been for her. How unfair it was for the son that she had birthed, that the angel came and told her, you are blessed among women. And this baby now is soon to die. What had the angel been thinking? To say something like, I am honored among women, when the same angel won't come and rescue my son. Why ask, does he have to be killed? When he's the son of God, when he's a rightful king, when he's the heir to the throne, he didn't do anything. He was innocent. I'm going to go see the magistrate, she thinks to herself, and she goes. But he won't see her. Another woman trying to save her criminal son. Jesus is beaten. He carries a cross through the streets of Jerusalem. He's going to die, and there's nothing that Mary can do about it. The King of Israel. Yet as he hangs on the cross, in all of his suffering, he looks down and he sees Mary. And he looks over to John and says, John, behold your mother. And then he looks at his mother and says, behold your son. That John would take care of her. He dies. She cries. Why would they kill him? He had done nothing wrong. The same truth he spoke to the people that he spoke to her as a boy growing up. They took the body down and carried it to Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, a wealthy follower who asked for Jesus' body She sees as he and others place the body in the tomb to give him some kind of honor. Mary watches as the body is placed in the tomb and the stone is rolled in front. She goes home. She wonders why. We see Mary pondering these things again. Why would God pick me for such a worthless encounter as to birth the Son of God and then he die? The same Son of God who called himself the I Am. It's Sunday. And Mary sees her friends running towards her. Jesus is alive, Mary. He's alive. He is risen. But how can that be? I saw him die. I saw his body put into the tomb. I saw the rock place. Are they crazy? And then we see what Mary sees. He stands talking to his disciples, admonishing them for their lack of faith. And she thinks to herself, he's speaking to me. I also had a lack of faith. He was dead, but now my son's alive. Our son is alive. Mary doesn't have to ponder any longer. What a plan. He dies. He is buried. He rises again. He pays for our sin. He's alive. The angel was right. Over 500 people see Jesus alive, and it's recorded in more books than just the Bible. It's not a dream or a myth. It's real. Jesus is alive. My friends, Mary saw wonders. She saw rejection. She saw sorrow. But she saw her son alive. He's alive. Are you okay about that? He's alive! 2,000 years later, he is still alive today. And I'm excited about that. I hope I'm in the graveyard when it comes. When he comes and takes us in the twinkling of an eye. If the ushers will come forward, we are going to stop and we're going to have a celebration of the Lord's Supper. Just to remember the bread and the juice. We're going to celebrate what Mary was able to celebrate on that day when she saw the tomb open. And the fulfillment of what the angel said when he said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." We have too. Jesus rose up that Sunday morning and it changed life as we know it. Because he did, we will too. His blood was spilled for our sins. It gave us the removal of sins. And for that, we're going to worship and we're going to praise. But I need a band. Let me just read this. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And my question to you this morning is, do you believe this? This morning of all mornings. This morning, 2,000 years later, we recognize that Christ arose from the dead, and we are excited. Let's worship together.
During this song, I'd encourage you to contemplate the words. See if you find yourself in there as you take communion. As you see the words to this song, see if you find yourself in there, one of those that's accepted by him.